What a glorious Lord is ours. It is all our salvation, all we need. Turn in Psalm 134 as we come to the end of the Songs of Ascent, 134. Like the song before it, celebrating the unity of the brethren and the blessedness of that, this one is also a very brief song. Let us pray as we, before we read it, then consider its contents tonight. Father, we rejoice in our triune salvation. We are grateful, Lord God, for your perfect plan, for your Son, for his perfect performance, and for the Spirit, his wonderful application of that salvation to our own hearts, enlightening our eyes, Lord God, and stirring our souls, that we may sing with gratitude, with understanding, and with hope. Father, as we come to the end of their journey of the children of Israel in these songs, we, God, are grateful the way it ends. And Father, we pray that as we have our end of this day, Lord, our own journey, even a short one this day, that we might give you all the glory and bless your name, you who have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A song of ascents. Bless the Lord. Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. This is the last of the songs of ascent, and many consider that they themselves have made their arrival in Zion. They have come to the focus of their pilgrimage to that that earthly Jerusalem and the temple of God, where they can enjoy his presence and draw near to him. I was thinking of this very song. In fact, I've thought of this song in two aspects. The one we sang, hymn number 28 by Isaac Watts, Hast Thou Not Known, that one stanza of verse 6, where it says, they with unwearied feet shall tread the path of life divine, with growing ardor onward move, with growing brightness shine. And we have them coming to the end of their journey. We have them coming to the end of that pilgrimage for which they themselves have been singing songs in anticipation of it. And what a wonderful way in which they conclude the journey. This is a good end, is what it is for them. And all is well that ends well, as Shakespeare said, and this is one of those situations where they now have come to the place which they have sought, the place of God, and we see what is the response of the people at the end of the journey. And I think it's as we look at that, we can be encouraged that way, not only with regard to the end of our daily journeys, but even as we take them maybe event by event, month by month, or even come to the end of our days, how will we come to the end of our journey? What will really be on our hearts and minds, on our mouths? And it seems like this is a wonderful psalm for that very purpose. It's a brief one, as I said, but it may be the best one. And I say best for the very reason that it calls for the most appropriate activity that man can do, and that is bless his God. And it also seeks the greatest blessing that anyone can have, the blessing of God. And so it's so simple, and indeed I think it's designed to be. Worship is not some kind of extravaganza, mystery. It is basically having a right focus and engaged in the right activities. And here the focus is very clear, isn't it? Who is the focus of this particular psalm? It doesn't take a very studied exegete to know that the focus of this particular psalm is who? The Lord, Yahweh. 5 times in 3 verses, reference is made to him. And the very focus and activity which is to be centered around him is what? It's blessing, appearing in all 3 verses. So it's a very simple song, but it's a glorious song, and I'm going to break it up really into 2 headings, very natural to what this very song is. The first one is the blessing to be given to the Lord, verses 1 and 2. And it's really that way, the blessing to be given to the Lord and the Lord's blessing to us. And so it turns Godward first, where it always should. It begins that way, and it may be there's always a question of who are the ones who are addressing, as it were, the night workers, the ones who are standing in the house of the Lord by night. Who is the one who is giving them this exhortation? Some say it's the pilgrims themselves, having arrived late on their journey and coming in maybe even the evening hours, and then coming into the place of God where they desire to be and see those servants, and are seeking that they themselves would express that praise for which they themselves also want to bless God. That may be the case. We're really not told what it is, but this letter, this particular blessing, "Bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Unlike Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we've been looking at, when he said, "Blessed be God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing," they don't give what those blessings are here. It's basically the response that we're just to give to God. He is the most blessed of beings. He is the one who is supremely and absolutely blessed. His blessing, as we said even there, is an absolute, it's a permanent blessing, and his blessedness doesn't come from or depend upon anything that's outside of himself. He is absolutely a self-contained, permanent, bountiful blessing in and of himself. It is what he is. God himself is blessed because he is a blessing, and an abounding blessing is in him, and so this is really the call here. Behold, pay attention and bless him. And we might say, what does it mean to bless God? Well, we can't add anything to him when we declare his praises, because he is glorious without our praise. He is exalted and lifted up, whatever men may think of him. But in a certain sense, I suppose that what it means to bless God is to give witness that we ourselves acknowledge who he is to him, and that we ourselves bless him as a witness to the blessing he has been to us. And I think that's really it. We're joyful witnesses of God in his glory, in his grace, in his goodness to us, his mercy. And so this idea of blessing God is acknowledging the wholeness that is in him, the fullness that is in him, the blessedness that is in him, and he's been pleased to manifest to us. As you know, the primary duty of man, according to Romans chapter 1, or the primary sin, we might say, the base sin of man, is that they did not honor him as God or give thanks. In other words, men don't bless God. They don't bless God, they don't acknowledge God, and they don't give thanks to God. Men are not God-blessers because they're not God-fearers. But these are God-fearers, and they do the best thing that God-fearers do, that they turn that expression of acknowledgement to God, they turn it into the blessing of God. They acknowledge him for what he is. And that's what these pilgrims probably are urging these nightstanders to do. Notice there, as it says, it's addressed to a special group. It says, "All the servants of the Lord who serve..." My version says, the ESV I think says better, it says stand by night in the house of the Lord. It's interesting, there's no chairs in the tabernacle. You couldn't sit and loiter. You had the little bells on your robe, the little bells and the little pomegranates, and again that the very sounds of the priest could be heard, that there was no way that he was idle as he was in the presence of God. And in a certain sense, this idea of standing indicates a readiness to serve, a readiness to exalt God, and a readiness to render what he is due, and it has all of those kinds of connotations to it. In fact, this same group is also addressed in Psalm 135. In my Bible, again, instead of "bless the Lord" at the very beginning of 135, "praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him, O servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God." The reference is likely to the Levites, and also to the priests, but it seems preeminent, at least as far as the Old Testament is concerned. We may be thinking of the Levites here, who was the servant tribe. In Deuteronomy 10:5, we read these words, that the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to serve Him, and to bless His name. That was their appointment. What a wonderful job to have. To stand before the presence of the Lord, to carry the Ark of the Covenant, that holy piece of furniture in which was the testimony of God's will and design, the constitution for the country, the nation, and to carry that and to bless His name. As you know, after Solomon came to the throne, that no longer was that ark had to be carried anymore, and that there was now a place for the ark. And it appears likely in the timing of this particular song of ascent that already the ark had found a place. Already God had pointed out His dwelling place. Already the temple had been built, and now it would be no longer carried by the Levites. None of the furniture would be carried by the Levites, not the tent, the tabernacle, the courtyard, or any of the instruments or at all. And in fact, they were given a new service. And we'll find the nature of that service in 1 Chronicles. It says now that what they were called to do was a new duty, to assist the priests with the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and chambers, even the work of service in the house of God. And among those duties is that they were to stand every morning to thank and praise God, and likewise at evening. Their job was now, in a certain sense, they were no longer people in transit. Now they were set right there in that very place of God, and they themselves were appointed the most blessed job you could have, morning and evening, giving praise and blessing to God. And so it's probably those that whom he refers to here. Why by night? Because it was a nighttime activity. The ark and the lights and all those things were attended throughout the night. There was always guardians, as it were, and the Levites were those particular guardians and servants of the things inside. And so you have this wonderful picture, and I think it emphasizes the constancy of their service and devotion to the task, and that's what it's calling for. They were doing it night and day, morning and evening, and again, in a certain sense, we're given instructions or a pattern for our own worship, that the day would begin with blessings and the day would end with blessing. And so it's wonderful that we can so end the days as we do on this Lord's Day, as we do, singing His praises, acknowledging Him, witnessing to the fact that this God is the God, our God, who is eternally blessed forever. And the other one that comes to my mind with regard to those nightly servants is that non-Levite woman by the name of Anna herself, that we read about in Luke chapter 2. Remember the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the woman who had been widowed for so long, and now at 84 years old, what was she engaged in doing? We're told that simply here she was, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. Who better to bless than the Lord? Who better to bless the Lord than those who are able to come into His presence freely and fully and acknowledge Him? And in many ways, that's us. We have that same Lord. We ourselves are able to bless Him, which is the supreme being of all. But we have the opportunity as a, really, what Peter calls a holy priesthood, to be able to offer up spiritual sacrifices to Him. As the writer to the Hebrews says, to offer up a sacrifice of praise to Him, the fruit of our lips that gives thanks to His name. That's what we get to do as that holy priesthood. And that not only are we a holy priesthood by faith in Christ, we're a royal priesthood who, Peter says, not only do we offer up spiritual sacrifices, but we're able to proclaim the excellencies of Him who have called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so this is really the best calling that we can have. This is the best way to come to the end of our journey, or the end of our lives, as it were, with our hearts full of praise to God, a constant praise. Notice that what he does, though, is he gives him instructions here, briefly, very brief instructions with regard to this blessing of God. And that's verse 2. It says, "Lift up your hands to the sanctuary, and again, bless the Lord." And we have a picture here that occurs only one other place in the New Testament, and that's in Psalm 28, where David himself pleads. He says, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary." And the lifting up of hands was a symbol of prayer. And it was also, behind it was also the idea of the lifting up of the heart and of the soul and of the mind to God, making an offering, as it were, as we come. And so those hands themselves were the visible demonstration of that adoration, of that dependence, of that submission to God. A very picture that the only other place, again, where it's referred to is in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, when it speaks again of the men, where Paul exhorts the men to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Those hands are to be hands pure. Those are to be hands that are at peace with one another. Here it is the hand of prayer. Here it is the attitude, as it were, of lifting up our hearts and minds, fully engaged, a wholehearted, whole-souled approach to God as we bless Him. I mean, we're given instances of the nature, or at least the character, of this worship. It's not defined so much by posture, but the posture represents it. And we know expressions of praise, don't we? I mean, if your team scores the touchdown, do we just kind of keep our hands like this? Yes! Or whatever it might be. In other words, we know that there is this connection between the joy of hearts and also the joy of lips and the joy of body, the body language of it all. But here is the body language of true worship, is what it is, in a sense. It's not necessarily mandating that hands be lifted, but it certainly isn't prohibiting that idea. But the main thing is that when we come into this place, standing as those who are in readiness like the old priest, full of the blessings of God, able to approach Him closely through Christ, entering through the veil into the real tabernacle of God, then we ourselves should do it with all the gladness of our heart. And that's the very picture we have here. It's a glorious picture, I think, and it's a sweet one with regard to it. The translation itself, my translation, says, "Lift up your hands to the sanctuary." It's Kodesh, and Kodesh could be either holy, or it could be holy place. And it seems that Paul takes that word in terms of holiness, and the Old Testament takes it in terms of the holy place. But again, the holy place requires our holiness as we come and approach Him. Both ideas may be there. And so this is what's the final directive of verse 2 here? For the second time, bless the Lord. And as I went through that, I decided, where and how often do we find that in the Psalms? Well, you could find it quite a bit, but just a few references I want to give you. Because this worship is not only constant, this worship is not only continuous, but this worship itself is grateful and thankful. What do we thank Him for? David declares in Psalm 28, he says this, "Blessed be the Lord." And then he declares the reason for the blessing in verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 28. "Because He has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and my song I shall thank Him with." It's the very expression of what is being called for here. It's the recognition, He's my strength, He's my song, He's my shield, He's heard my supplication, He is my help, and therefore, bless God. Psalm 34, David again says, "I will bless the Lord." Here, what we noted in this particular Psalm 134, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord." And that's the blessing. We boast in the Lord. That's what a blessing is. It's boasting in God. It's boasting to God, of God. It's that idea. The humble will hear it and rejoice. "Magnify the Lord with me." That's what a blessing does. "And let us exalt His name together." What's the ground of that blessing? As he goes on in that particular psalm in verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. God be praised. God be blessed. He is the deliverer. He is the strength. He is the protection of my life. Psalm 103, and many of you know that psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. So now a pop quiz. What are they? I forgot. Psalm 103, there's a lot of them. Pardon, being crowned with loving kindness and mercy, healing, redemption, satisfying our years with good things, not treating us as we deserve, being closer to us than any could ever be, removing our sins as far as they could be removed, remembering his blessings. Don't forget his benefits. Sometimes we forget. And our forgetfulness, again, leads to the silence of our lips with regard to blessing the Lord. And this is what fills David. And if you want to know all of those things, you can turn to Psalm 103. Not now. The very next Psalm, 104. 104, the anonymous writer opens the same way. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a cloak, stretching out the heaven like a tent curtain. And what does he do in that psalm? What is it that promotes his blessing? If you go to that psalm, it's all of the greatness, the goodness, the power, and the wisdom of God in the created order. As he just goes through, really, 104 is just kind of a poetic expansion of Genesis 1 and 2. And it's just opening up the very God himself. And again, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that very psalm itself ends on the same refrain. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Psalm 124, 6, one of the songs of ascent already. Blessed be the Lord. What reason? He has not given us to be torn by our enemies. Blessed be the Lord, as he says two times in that psalm, for he was on our side. What a mercy. Again, Psalm 135, the psalm that immediately follows this one, which I mentioned at the very beginning, has a wonderful ending to it with regard to the exhortation that it has, expanding those who are to give glory to God, those who are to bless him, not just simply the Levites or the priests, but Psalm 135, O house of Israel, 19 and 20, O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who revere, fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem, praise the Lord. It expands. There's not anyone who is not to give him glory, but especially those who are able to approach near to him and those who fear and love him and trust him. That's the calling. That's the blessing of this very reality here. Bless the Lord. It's an interesting thing, note that I made I just saw my notes. In India, that's the greeting that they give to you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. If you have a meeting, I don't know, Rob might remember that. When they come, that's the way that they greet you. You know, or that's the way after a sermon or after a graduation or something, that's the way they come. They come, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. You say, amen, bless the Lord. It's a sweet greeting. But this one is full of thankfulness. This one is full of the knowledge of God and his kindness. This is the confession of a life that is well lived and happy and content with God. And that's really what it is. It's a life lived for and with God is the happiest kind of life. And it is this: they have come to the end of the pilgrimage and they are happy. They are happy souls. And so we come to the second part and the last part of this very short song, and that's verse 3, the blessing that is invoked from the Lord. Bless the Lord. But notice, may the Lord bless you. And it appears now that the audience has changed, not from the pilgrim speaking to the priests or the Levites with regard to setting up the praises of God, but now it appears that maybe the Levites and the priests themselves directing the people, and actually not so much directing them, but pronouncing benediction upon them in a wonderful way, isn't it? The Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. And now they seek from God. And this is probably almost like the parting invocation as they have made their visitation on pilgrimage and now prepare to go back to their homes. This blessing now rests upon their heads. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. This has its roots, as you know, in the Aaronic blessing of Numbers chapter 6, in Numbers chapter 6, the very first line of it, the Lord bless you and keep you. And that's a great blessing, isn't it? To be blessed by the Lord and to be kept by the Lord. That benediction that goes on to invoke the Lord's blessings of God's grace and peace, which we spoke about in Ephesians 1 and 2. It is a blessed thing. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a full blessing. It is a great blessing, a manifold blessing. And this is the benediction that... This is the very benediction that Boaz greeted his workers with. This doesn't occur very often in the Old Testament, the Lord bless you. But there in Ruth 2:4, as Boaz comes and greets his reapers with a wonderful greeting, may the Lord be with you. I like the setting. May the Lord be with you. And then the reapers themselves in response, may the Lord bless you, they say. And I always think of that working relationship that exists after all of the craziness of the period of time of the judges. Then when you come to Ruth and you have this scene in Jerusalem where there is a righteous man working with his workers, and there is this kind of communion together with regard to the blessings of God upon each of them. It is a wonderful one. This same benediction, the Lord bless you from Zion, who made heaven and earth, is found in Psalm 128 as well, which spoke of the precious family blessedness of those who fear God, the family that will be blessed as God fears. May the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you from Zion, it says. This was the very place in which God was going to put himself and dwell with. Let it come from, where do our blessings come? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Why? Because it's no longer an earthly Jerusalem that is our Zion. It is the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion. There where we ourselves have our anticipation. We've come to a mountain that can be touched. We come to a mountain of grace. We come to the blessed new covenant of God Himself by the blood of Christ, where we can approach God and find that blessing from the heavenlies. Derek Kidner, as he speaks about this particular psalm, speaks of we blessing God and then God blessing us, makes a good observation here, what he calls the unequal exchange. The unequal exchange, and he says it like this. He says, to bless God is to acknowledge gratefully what He is and what He does. But he says, for God to bless us, He must make us what we are not and give us what we have not. In other words, we bless God because He has everything and is everything. God blesses us who have every single need and not what we should be. And that is, he calls it the unequal exchange. What would we call it? Grace. It's grace. The God who Himself will bless us who have nothing really to give, and the God who will give us what we need, for we are desperately so. That is His grace. And that is the blessing of this. That is a sweet, unequal exchange, but it is the exchange that God Himself was pleased to make for the sake of His own. But notice how He supports this blessing. Or they, the priests, may the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. It's supported by an incredible encouragement. All right? The Lord's ability to bless and care for His own. It's found in two of the earlier songs of ascent in Psalm 121 and Psalm 124. And both of them acknowledge that our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And again, this is where I ask again that we might sing that wonderful psalm, that song 28 of Isaac Watts. Listen to what he says here to acknowledge, you know, favor, His grace, His peace, His presence, His help, His strength, His comfort, His wisdom, all that He gives to us through Jesus Christ by the Spirit and through His Word. All of those comes from Him who made heaven and earth. And it's Isaac Watts, again, and those words were coming in my mind. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That firm remains on high the everlasting throne of Him who formed the earth and sky. Then he says, are you afraid? Art thou afraid His power shall fail when comes thy evil day, when you run into trouble? And can an all-creating arm grow weary or decay? Is there any weakness? Is there any lack in the living God, in the fact that surrounding you is every molecule and atom that testifies to His creative strength, His wisdom, and His goodness? That is a wonderful benediction. And it's found in Psalm 115, verse 15. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And in that psalm, the benediction is preceded by these words. This one who will bless you. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord. He will bless the small together with the great. He who made the heavens and earth is able to move heavens and earth for the sake of His people. He is able to give them heaven and earth. He is able to give us, as we know, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This isn't kind of some mere polite statement. It's not just, okay, may the Lord bless you. Okay, thank you. That's like have a good day. No, this is seeking something earnestly. This is seeking something that is eternal and of infinite value. After the Lord gave those words to Moses to give to the priest, the Lord bless you and keep you, after that very benediction that He gave to them, then the Lord Himself personally said these words, so they shall invoke My name on the sons of Israel, then I will bless them. In other words, He will carry forth the blessing of His people. This is a happy people. This is a happy throng. They've come to the end of the journey, whether it has been this for the third time in that year. But the blessing is that God Himself is with them. God Himself is a blessed God, and God will continue to bless them. And so I end with just the words of Psalm 115:18 that goes on with regard to this praise. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. Give Him all the glory who has given you all the riches of His grace through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for all the blessings that You, the blessed God, has bestowed upon us. And the Lord, whether we received anything from Your hand, it would not change the reality that there is none like You and that You are most the blessed and best of beings. But God, in Your mercy, Lord, in that unequal exchange of grace, Lord, You Yourself have made it possible that we, the creatures, sinful, Lord, not what we ought to be, Lord, needy, Lord, needing everything, Lord, weak and frail as we can be, weak as water, Lord, that You are the one who will be pleased to bless us. Lord, bless us, Lord, with the greatest of blessings, the gift of Your Son. Lord, to secure our salvation, that we might draw near to You, and that we might, by Your Holy Spirit, grow to be like You, like Your Son. That, Father, we could be that what we should be, and that, Lord God, we would have all that we need, Lord, as we live in this life. Lord, You are faithful. And we give You glory this night. We bless Your name because You are the faithful and righteous God. You are true to Your word, and You will accomplish all that You purpose and plan for our lives. God, as we have this opportunity to worship You, may we worship You even more and be determined even more to bring the whole offerings of our whole souls and minds to You. Lord, not just at a single occasion on a single day, but that, Lord, it would be the constant expression of our lives, that our souls would be lifted up and mindful of the mercies and benefits that You pour out upon us day by day. and that those spiritual blessings in the heavenlies that you've bestowed upon us, which now we even have a enjoyment of, yet, Lord, we know that there are more yet to come. Lord, those which we shall enjoy in a boundless eternity in your very presence, blessing you, Lord, for all that you are. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace to us. Thank you, O blessed God, and may you bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.